Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, and welcome to a wonderful Wednesday afternoon, morning, evening, in the middle of the night to everybody who's out there listening from all parts of the world. And here it's 1 p.m. in the afternoon, cold October day here in Quebec, Canada. Yeah, Canadian weather, getting colder and colder. So always cold when October, when Halloween rolls around, freezing cold. But let's warm us up with some amazing poetry today. We have a board packed full again with amazing poetry, your poetry. So I'm going to introduce my co-host, the lovely Diane. Hi, Diane. How are you today?
Oh, Naomi girl, I am so, today is a good day. I am so excited today, so happy today. I can't tell how I'm going to use my own words, awesomeness, philosophically, brilliance to have you back.
I'm happy to be back. Yeah, I had a really busy summer with all kinds of things that came up, and then I got sick with pneumonia, and you know, I'm still on antibiotics, but feeling better. They're coughing a bit, but feeling so much better. So glad to be finally back, you know, to these shows, because they really make my day. So awesome to be here with you. And do we have anybody else with us, or are we alone? I guess we're just the two of us. So you want to kick this show off by posting our first poem up, Diane?
I certainly will, my friend. I'm posting, just a sec. I am posting a carryover from October 12th, and it is called Nipple Straws, and it is by Dash Pat One. I'll go ahead and read this.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Nipple Straws. I think I'll run naked through the streets with my pendulous breasts flapping hello to all the assholes staring at my tits, without regard to my scandalous nude face or big mouth yelling, I'm done. I'm done listening. I'm done giving advice. I'm done pleasing others. I'm done hiding my aorta, anatomical, I looked that up too, anatomical pink circles with suckling nipple straws hidden beneath band-aids to avoid conflict, a popular cowardly solution to slaughter the soul. End poem.
Wow, that was an amazing read. Diane, you know, you read that with so much conviction. Really, it's a really powerful piece. It is, you know, an affirmation, you know, that of becoming oneself coming into yourself and saying go to hell, everybody, you know, I'm mm-hmm. here, it's me, I'm just going to stand up for who I am. So amazing, you know, Dash Pat, she always brings such powerful pieces. And what did you think, Diane?
Well, my dear, I have to say this is probably the first piece from Dash Pat One that I've ever come across. And I love it. I love her passion. I love her message. I love how she's standing up for women who, you know, walk the streets and all people see are their breasts and they don't see her face. And you know, we've seen that for ages and years and hundreds of decades. But the way she powerfully puts it out here, which is why I read it with that emotion, because she's delivering a powerful message. She's done. She's done listening. She's done giving advice. She's done pleasing others. And she's done. And her last line there, two lines, a popular cowardly solution to slaughter the soul. I just, her title, her message, and the way she stands up and shouts it out and doesn't care what people think. She's just speaking her truth. And I loved it. Great, right?
Oh, yeah, amazing, right? Very powerful. And, you know, I read that first comment there, furiously and righteously expressed the words of Wilde there. Yeah, I agree. And awesome comment there, Diane. And so thank you so much, Dash Pat, for that, right? And where are we going next, Diane?
Well, next I am posting Peter Allen's write, And it is called Last Love. And did you want to go ahead with that one?
Yeah, I'll just sneak it in here to late night poets. It's taking me. Okay. Okay. Last Love by Peter Allen. My lady, I want to love you forever. Black out all thought of what was and love you until reason leaves me, until we become one dance, one song, one poem, one sun that brightens our September and warms our November before the winter comes. End poem. Oh, that's such a sweet write. Oh, my gracious. You know, so lovely. I just love how he finishes that. One sun that brightens our September, warms our November before the winter comes. You know, just, and so many great lines in there. Just a another beautiful write from our Peter Allen here. So enjoy his poems every time. And your thoughts, Diane?
I just want to make sure I'm not on mute here. I really, really enjoyed this brevity. I don't know how many words it is, but it packs a punch. It tells of the love. And it expresses last love. And I think it's a love affair with, and I think even though it's my lady, I want to love you forever, I feel like all that love is pouring out to nature. The last love of August, September, and then comes before the winter comes. I just felt that connection to nature when you read this, and you read this awesome, and I just felt the love, and I didn't feel it so much with a lady. I felt it with the nature, and that is a lady too. So excellent. I mean, it's an excellent piece, and short but packs a punch.
Mm-hmm. Does indeed, you know, not one word wasted for sure there. I just love how it starts out, my lady. There's sort of like a Shakespearean feel with that, my lady. And then, you know, it goes into September, November, you know, I don't know. There's just kind of like this Shakespearean feeling I got from the whole write. So amazing, amazing job there, Peter Allen. And Diane, what will be our next poem?
Okay, next up, and I'll sing them in both groups, Naomi, so you don't have to worry about that.
Oh,
in
okay.
Both groups is a poem called Encore by Sean Motion. And I love that image. I will go ahead and read that. Encore. Do you ever see stars falling from the night sky with sparkles and pops, and then air shakes the earth? I look at you and see something like July 4th. Maybe we are both blind. You are like fireworks coasting bright and loud with an infinite encore. When you boom and I fall, I blame the atmosphere, but I never
saw. Oh, I just love this, right? Yeah, and the picture, like you said, Diane, isn't that amazing? Fireworks in the iris there of the eye. And, you know, this so, encompasses the whole of, you know, that prompt there. It catches it so, so amazingly, this right. I don't know if this was in a contest, but it would have been gold. It would have been gold in my book. This is just amazing. You know, I look at you and see something like July 4th. And then that second stanza, oh, my gracious. You are like fireworks coasting bright and loud with an infinite encore. When you bloom, I fall, I blame the atmosphere. but I never stopped watching. You know, packed with you know, this emotion, a powerful piece, and you know, straightforward words, but I mean that say so much. And I just love that title, Encore, an encore. Just amazing, right to that prompt, to that picture. You know, just spot on. What did you think, Diane?
This is, like you said, girl, this is powerful and so fitting for the image. It's, you know, it's someone attempting to describe love, because love is so phenomenal, and someone attempting to describe it and coming out with an amazing description of comparing it to fireworks. You know, love, the boom, bang, shakes, pop, sparkles of love is captured in this, and the metaphor of, you know, love being like the 4th of July. Of course, absolutely, like so well said, coasting bright and loud with an infinite encore. And that's what we love about fireworks, is the encore. And the encore here, the encore of love, if it's anything like the encore of fireworks, because when we get that encore of fireworks, it's always amazing, like even better than the first one, right? And that's the same thing with love. And he's describing here the encore of love. And I'm full with it. Like, it really wraps me up. I get really full with this piece. It's a nice, warm, loving piece.
Oh, yeah, so much. So much so. So well said. Thank you so much, Sean, for dropping that on the board. So appreciate it. And what do we have up next, Diane?
Well, next up, we are on to our today's rites and entries, and which is open poetry. And I'm posting the first piece on the board as we speak, and it is called Among the Earth. Tired Language by Harco Parco. And my dear, would you like to go ahead with that?
Oh, of course. The king of brevity, our Harco Parco. We rest among the earth's tired language. A tulip presses against wings. We befall send sunsets into our funeral, passing through autumn eyes beneath heaven. You know, he has such a facilitate, easy way with brevity, but it's, you know, it's so hard to do in so few words, but he just captures, you know, he just so cleverly captures what he wants to say here. We rest among the earth. Tired language. And you know, it's so true. When autumn passes and it becomes earth, it becomes winter. What am I saying? It becomes winter. You know, the things die away. It's like autumn is like a tired language. But you know, this can be taken in, you know, for death itself, an amazing, amazing metaphor. I see he wrote it for Banjolin, you know, our poet that passed away sadly. And, you know, she was such an extraordinary poet. So this is a very amazing, amazing right here from Adam. Bravo, bravo. And you, your thoughts, Diane?
Well, you just put that beautifully, my dear. And you captured and you caught the tribute in it and the you know, I've seen a lot of tributes to Banjolin over the last week or two, and I mean, I've never had the privilege of knowing her or knowing her on AP, right? But other people did, and obviously she left an impact on people, and Harco Parco captures it here. We rest among the earth's tired language. You know, when we are up at the place of death, whether we know of it or not, we are tired, and it is a tired period. Whatever you're fighting at the point of death, it's going to exhaust you. And it's captured here in the metaphor, a tulip presses against wings. I mean, that just, I tear up reading that. We befall sunsets into her funeral. Beautiful tribute from, like you said, my dear, the king of brevity. He has a way with these words to put it together. I'd like to see his haiku, because I imagine that he's able to put together in such short, powerful message in a few words. And that's what I respect and admire about people who master brevity, and he does, and this one is a good example of that. Well done, Adam. Well done.
Oh, yeah, so much so, you know. Well done for sure. And, you know, our heart to Banjolin and her family and, you know, and all the friends and the people, the poets that did know her. And, you know, I'm like you, I didn't know her personally, but from all the poems that have been written and the tributes to her, she must have been really, really amazing. So, an amazing tribute here. Very well done, Adam. So, Diane, let's go on to our next piece.
Yes.
Oh, you all
and
have it up.
I do. I'm on the ball a little bit today. I'm not sure what's going on. It is called "But the Sun Never Goes Down" by Becky Upchurch, and I like Becky's work. I've been in contests with Becky's and some awesome contests, and I really like her work. But the sun never goes down. Moon. A coin trick, half hiding behind the ear of the pitch sky. And I make a wish. I wish I could pull you out of the deep black, but you half shine, teasing me to draw down the chin of night. Come all the way out and see me.
Ah, this is really amazing, you know, that she and I see that she won gold, of course, you know, and such an amazing poem to that picture. But you know, you can take it as in so many different ways, or maybe I'm going too far, you know, but you can take it beyond the words, I find. You know, when you're in the black, when you're in, you know, that the blackness, or you know, a hard place in your life, whether it be depression or whether it be other places, don't you wish that you could just, you know, tear out, you know, that half part that's black, or, you know, those black regions, and just find the light again. That's the feeling that I got when I was reading this. But, you know, just amazing right here. You know, all the way through. What are your thoughts, Diane?
Well, this is clever, and I see this was a front page pick as well. And you know what poets can communicate to their listeners is amazing. It just blows my mind what writers can communicate to their listeners and in such brevity and make a powerful message of like a love affair with the sun. the sun never goes down, and she's talking about the sun here like it's a little kitten. I wish I could pull you out of the deep black, but you half shine, teasing me to draw down the chin of night, come all the way out. And it's like calling out the sun from the moon and saying maybe the moon is a coin trick. And I love that opening. I'm a knockover for great openings. Moon, a coin trick, half hiding behind the ear. Like, amazing to capture that and to put it out into a metaphor like that of the pitch sky. And I make a wish that the sun would come out of the deep black. Beautiful, beautiful write. Amazingly done and great write. Loved it.
Oh, yeah. But Becky Upchurch, I mean, she's so, so, so talented, you know. So just an honor to have her poem by her on the board today. And I see A.R. Mundell is on the board. And Hats is there. So I want to say hi to both of them. Hello out there. And I see you have, Diane, your poem is up. Okay, so go ahead and give that a read, my dear.
I certainly will. This piece is called Poppy, and it says, Poppy was a little man, tiny. He kept his flood pants up with leather suspenders, wearing a Y on his back. Shuffled in every morning, thinning marble hair, army cut, took his mahogany quilted seat beside the wood-burning stove, grabbed his well-smoked wolf-faced meerschaum pipe, packed and tamped the bowl with John Player's number 6 tobacco. Shaky hands held the shank. I grabbed the silver-boned E-embossed camel lighter. He begins his day. End poem.
Oh, you know, I've heard this one before. And, you know, I have to say, you know, you captured that character so, so amazingly. I mean, this belongs in a book, for a character description in a novel, in a great novel. Oh, my gracious. You know, I've rarely read a piece that captured a personality and it's a brevity too, so well. You know, you can just see him there sitting, with his suspenders and this little man. You can just picture him, there with his pipe and everything. You just see him. You just see him with his leather suspenders, wearing a Y on his back, thinning marble hair, army cut, just with his pipe there. So this is just like amazing, amazing writing, Diane, as you can do it. And, so, so deserving win there in the contest. Beautiful, beautifully written piece. Just amazing. Stunning. And do you want to say anything about your poem, Diane?
Just to say thank you very much for those awesome words and feedback. I mean, this was a true story. This was my Poppy. And
aww.
I would watch him when he would get up in the morning, because we used to get to take turns, because there were 6 of us, and we would get to take turns to go stay with Poppy. And I would love on my mornings to be able to help him set out when he got up and had his coffee and tea. Well, he was a tea drinker, and he down with his pipe, and I would help him. And it was a true story, and it was done for a brevity, because I don't write brevity that often, but it was done for a brevity, and it was done for, yeah, my Poppy. It was a memorable time in my life.
You know, my great-grandfather, I used to call him Pop. It was Mom and Pop. And, yeah, this kind of reminds me of him, too, you know, with the suspenders and everything. Yeah, so it brought me back memories. Thank you for that. Just an amazing, amazing piece. Okay, so I see we have Budo on the board. Woo-hoo.
We do.
And would you like to go ahead and read that, my dear?
Okay. Empty platitudes. Beg, steal, and borrow. These trappings bend sorrow. Falsify men's utterly divine, when falsehoods reign sublime, catch a fallen dying star, the damning clutches of an art, burn the sulfur lighted match, sullied embers in the catch, words come cheap as filler dirt, empty content leaves the hurt, time to turn the tainted page, or empty shelf, the bitter rage. Amazing. I just want to read his AN there. Sorry is the Kool-Aid of human emotion. It's what you say when you spill a cup of coffee or throw a gutter ball when you're bowling with the girls in the league. True sorry is as rare as true love. Oh, yeah, that is so true. And, you know, he captures, you know, the whole idea of you know, the emptiness, you know, the powerfulness of sorrow here. Catch a fallen dying star, the damning clutches of an arc. Burn the sulfur lighted match, solid embers in the catch. And I just love that finishing, you know. Time to turn the tainted page of empty self, the bitter rage. I love the metaphor of an empty shelf there. You know, Budo, he writes amazing songs, but he can also write amazing, amazing brevities too, and amazing poetry, you know, along with his lyrics that are absolutely stunning. So bravo, Budo. And what are your thoughts, Diane?
Well, I'm thinking, you know, I'm agreeing with Adam on the board here. Love Budo's writing. I've only had the honor of reading Budo since joining Brevity Writers and doing the show, but I'm becoming such a fan. And this one, another front page pick, and no doubt whatsoever, because I can see that it's another Brevity that packs a punch. And the message, and the packing the punch that I refer to is the message. When you have a message that is your truth and it's in your head, and you want to get it out there in writing, it's like you want to describe these empty platitudes. And to me, I took that as empty stories, empty promises, catch a falling dying star, the damning clutches of an arc, men's utterly divine when falsehoods reign sublime. And it's like we get those stories that are not true. We get those stories that are false. We get those stories that are said just because they want to move on or something like that, right? And we get those. And I love that's a line of its own in a piece. Story is the Kool-Aid of human emotions. That is so true. It's Kool-Aid and it's a Band-Aid in some cases, right? I mean, and at the same time, it's also the creme de la creme of Kool-Aid. Tang. It's Tang. You know that one from Canada, right? Well, from everywhere, but Tang. It's the Tang of the words out of human emotions, and it comes out powerful and packed, and I just, yeah, Budo's writing. I just can't say anything except thank you, Budo. Thank you for being with us.
Yeah, thank you so much for being you. You know, what an amazing person, what an amazing person Budo is. I mean, he's just wonderful. And do I see Captain B2 is on the board. Bobby, has she joined us?
Barely. I've been fighting laryngitis for the last 3 days. I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to call in or not. I've been ladling hot tea down my throat all morning.
Oh, poor you. I know how that feels because, you know, I'm just over the flu myself, and it turned into pneumonia, so I don't want to scare you there, but you know, I was really, really sick. Who's the sicker person? No, but, I had antibiotics, and so I'm over it, so I'm better now. But did you happen to hear Budo's poem, Bobby?
I'm sorry, I did not. I've been trying to get online because it's actually not, it's a lot less glamorous, and it's chronic postnasal drip. And when I get like this, all it does is clog my voice, and the best I can do is sound like Lauren Bacall.
Well, you know, you sound kind of sexy there.
Ooh, maybe.
Well, that is Lauren Bacall for sure.
So,
welcome, Bobby. Always a pleasure.
Yes, ma'am. Uh-huh. I need to pull up something and throw on your board, too. So I need to throw up on your board.
You do that.
So I see you have our next piece up, Diane, by Hats. Woo, by Hats.
Certainly do. I have Avalanche by Hats, and I'm going to ask if Bobby could read that one for us, and if you could both comment, and I'll be right back.
Okay.
I'll give it my best shot. Let's see if I've lost the tab already. Hang on a second. All right. No more for me. Okay. We're looking at Avalanche by Hats. Okay. Let's see if I can do it justice here. Avalanche. In the distance, a rumble follows the rumble. A white cloud of snow rose between the rocks, first small as an unchanging explorer, and then it shook, and a whole waterfall swirled on one wall. The snow ran, sliding down a too steep slope. It stroked and copied its surface, its slopes and sloping parts, the same as an eager lover and laid lower with a thud. It tore down everything that stood in its way, and when it stopped, a dark spot remained at the foot of the hill as if plastered falls off the wall, the same as my body after you left. And
wow. Amazing read there, Bobby. And what a powerful and amazing write. Oh, my gracious. She just captured that emotion of, you know, being abandoned, being, feeling so empty after, you know, that person that meant so much to you leaves. A dark spot remained at the foot of the hill as if the plaster falls off the wall, you know, and, you know, the wow. Yeah, I'm speechless. This is just amazing. You know, the way she captured all the nature, you know, and, you know, this extended metaphor is just amazing. And you do feel like as if an avalanche has struck you, you know, when you're in the middle of that abandonment. You know, this is, you know, this is worthy of a front page pick. How come it has been picked. I just saw that front page pick 7 days. Well, bravo, Hats. You know, if it wouldn't have been picked, I would have put it up for you know, I would have submitted it for front page pick. It's so, so deserving. And what are your thoughts, Bobby?
She's taken a force of nature that is it's irreversible. It is inescapable. It is catastrophic, and it is powerful beyond description. And she has linked the destruction that is left in the wake of a cascade of snow that goes at the rate of a freight train, and she linked it to the feeling left in her body, in her spirit, after someone has betrayed her and left. And you feel like a building has fallen on you. You're ill-equipped. I remember when it happened to me. And you want to reach out and bitch slap the people and say, snap out of it. Now, come here, put your face in here, you know. You tell people, look, I've not got a lot of practice at this. So, you know, it's one of those things that, unfortunately, it's on-the-job training that you really would rather avoid. And but she's got the beautiful, awful power of, and if you've ever seen an avalanche, they are stunning and frightening at the same time. Kind of like my mother. you realize that caught in the wake of something like this, if you survive, it's by the grace of the gods, you know, and your own strong will. She's in a brevity and a very deserving FPP. This is really, she's taken an earthquake, she's taken an avalanche, and she's personified it into personal grief, and done such an eloquent and stunning job. Very well done. Very impactful.
Oh, yes, very much. And I see Stelina's on the board. Is Stelina with us on the radio? Are you there, dear?
I am here, everyone. Hello, everyone.
Stelina.
I have a bit of a bad back, sorry, so I might be a bit of a fidget. Sorry. If you hear me moving around.
I'm coughing. Bobby has lost her voice a bit. So welcome to the banged up party.
I'm in the right place, then.
Welcome to the brave and
right place.
Wounded.
Oh, God. Anyway, you might hear me moving around, that's all.
Oh, no problem. You know, my daughter has a sore back for months, and she has a hernia in the disc, and, you know, it's hit her sciatic nerve. And, you know, she's been through, next step is the operation on her back. But, doctor said you have to lie down if the pain's too much. So the other day she was doing her groceries and she just laid down in the middle of an alley. People were looking at her. My back. Doctor's orders. So she's just lying there in the alley in the grocery store. Like, poor her, you know. But, yeah, I understand, you know, sore back for sure.
But that's not the weirdest thing you can see in a grocery store, is it? Not these days.
Did you hear our last poem by Hats,
I didn't,
Selena?
I'm sorry. I didn't. But I will go and read it after and comment. Definitely.
Oh, yeah. It was an amazing, amazing read.
I heard the comments.
Yeah, amazing. And, I don't see that Diane is back yet. Let's see.
Yes, I am back. I am back.
Oh, you are
sorry.
Back. I are back, Diane. Okay. Did you get to hear Hack's poem?
I certainly did. And before I comment on that amazing brevity, I just want to welcome Stella. Stella, it's so good to have you. I always love to hear your voice.
Nice to be here. Nice to be here, darling. Mm-hmm.
And everyone on the board today, like the board is full today. We have, like we had My Angel 3, we had Adam and Hats and Lost and AR. We have a board full of people today. I'm just so excited that everybody's joined us on the show.
Frank is there too, mm-hmm. I see. Poetic Picasso.
Mm-hmm. So, Avalanche. Now, Hat captured, no doubt, a front page pick. Hat captured the metaphor there of you know, being in love and being in a relationship or being with someone and they leave your body laying there, whether, you know, how they leave, but they leave your body laying there. And it is like an avalanche, you know, losing that. And I don't know if this piece was, you know, based around unconsensual consent or whatnot. But it was beautifully written how when somebody does that to you, it is like an avalanche. It's like in the distance, a rubble follows the rubble. The snow runs down a slope too deep. It tears down everything that stands in its way. And then that last line, same as my body after you left. Like, you know, just describing this amazing, powerful voice of nature, describing it and comparing it to what you feel like after someone to you like that. Just amazing job, amazingly well done. And I'm so glad it was a front page pick because, like you, Naomi, I would have written in on this one.
Oh yeah, just an amazing job there, Hats. You know, such a powerful extended metaphor. So clever and so just a stunning, right? Diane, oh my gracious, Diane, where are we going next, dear? Oh,
well,
my phone.
We have arrived. Yes, we would like and be honored to have you read to us letters.
Okay, here we go. So this was actually one of Bobby's prompts for one of her contests. So this is letters. It does seem long, but I have to state it's 86 words. I checked, so it's below 100. So letters. We used to write each other letters, encyclopedias of our love. Today, a trickle of blood makes its way out of me. Each time a silent vowel dies at the ends of the words, alone and invisible. You look at me like a pinprick. Your flinty eyes cut my wing. The silence sealed between us on a war footing. We eat our soup, tomato and alphabet, heads down, swallowing our red letters, all our words lying in bulk and rotting in the pit of our end poem. And Diane, if you want to leave comments.
Absolutely. I would love to go ahead and comment on this. Awesome, right, Naomi? Excellent, right? I love how you tied together the letters with the Encyclopedia of Love. We eat our soup, tomato and alphabet. I love that. That stood out to me. It was nostalgic. It was a brilliant imagery to take someone down. Swallowing our red letters, all our words lying in bulk and rotting in the pits of our stomach. Letters. You know, it's written like that's what all love is sometimes, is, or that the magnitude of love. And it's so sad. It gave me, you know, my heart went into the pit of my stomach when I heard that last part, because it's obviously a hurt for you, or for the writer, or for the character. It's a hurt and a loss. And it's exceptionally well written, beautiful imagery. I mean, that alphabet soup I love. Thank you for sharing that with us, my dear. That was amazing.
Thank you. And, Bobby, your comment. I'm leaving comments on my own poem here.
I enjoyed this piece that you did. And I liked the prompt that you – I was hoping someone would choose that prompt because, to me, it had a lot of potential. And what you did with it was beyond my expectations. I mean, you took it in a direction that was unimagined by me. I thought it was very it was inspired, and the fact that you also was able to weave detail into your piece, like the color of her blouse is almost. It's not quite red, but it's almost like dried blood, you know, but it still has that suggestion of red to it and of pain, I thought, and how she is completely immersed in these words and letters around her. So I really enjoyed this piece, and I was it was one of those contests where everyone was so damn good. I was sorry I couldn't. I would have given it more than an honorable mention if I could have. But
I know the really feeling.
Really good.
Oh, yeah. You get these contest entries, and all of them are pretty good, really good. And you're just there, and you're picking your brains, and you're saying, how am I going to judge this thing, you know? So, you just have to go with your heart, you know? You just have to go with, you know, the pieces
my critical pivot point is how did the author leverage the prompt, the art prompt that they selected. And, because some of them, they will extract the most exquisite details from a piece. And I've got a few of those right now that I'm judging. And others will just draw the emotion right out of what they're looking at, and you go, wow, I didn't see that. And it is all, for me, because it's ekphrasis, it is how did the author interrelate with this piece that they selected to write on? How did it inspire them? What direction did it take them in? And so that's the big thing for me.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. Me too. Yeah. And, emotion plays a lot with me. You know, I have to feel emotion from a piece, that for sure. So So, yeah, excellent comment there, Bobby. And Selena, your thoughts on my poem?
Well, first of all, I always enjoy reading your poetry. You know, you're a very talented writer, and you do evoke the emotion within a person. So that I want to make clear. Now, this piece, I think, is wonderful. I like how, as was said before, looking at the prompt, if that is the prompt picture in the background,
mm-hmm.
I like how you've taken the letters and you've shown throughout the poem sort of the death of a love. You know, it starts off with encyclopedias of our love. You know, if you were writing to a love far away, you'd be writing every day, every minute, you know. And then you're going down and down and sort of you've got this this line here that I really love. Sorry, a silent vowel dies at the end of the words, alone and invisible. So we're getting to the death here. It's sort of going slowly fading. And then at the end, you know, the soup and swallowing the red letters and lying in bulk and rotting in the pit of our stomachs. So you're showing how the love has died between the people here through your words.
Yeah,
and I love the second stanza, you know. Today a trickle of blood makes its way out of me each time. And again, those lines, a silent vowel dies at the end of the words, alone and invisible. Oh, it's just beautiful, beautiful, Naomi. It's a beautiful poem. Well done, and thank you very much for sharing it.
Oh, thank you so much, Delina.
And
Diane, your thoughts?
I did give my thoughts, I think, my friend.
Oh, you did comment. Oh, yeah.
But I would love to do it again.
I'm overwhelmed with your praise. It's too much. thank you for your comments, everyone. Diane, where are we going next?
Next, we are posting a piece by E1 Anonymously Known, and it is called... It's got a long title, too short. This body of writing represents in its word forming a royal leaf, a poetic prose effort. Powerful packed title. And Stelina, my dear, would you like to start off with that, reading that for us?
I would. Just let me refresh because I'm okay. Yes. Here we are. Okay, so too short, this body of writing represents in its word forming a royal leaf, a poetic prose effort. And this is by, sorry, I can't find the author.
Hello?
Before you continue reading,
yes, Naomi, Diane, that poem is way, way, way over 100
too
words.
Too long.
You cannot be read on a bed before.
Oh my God, yes, it is.
I was just looking at it here. That's just what I was about. I was just about to say that myself. I think, yeah, we should, you know, go on to another one and you know, maybe Anonymously Known could put that on, one of our open poetry, Fill My Eyes has open poetry every Friday. So on Late Night Poets, so maybe he could put that poem there for sure. So Diane, we'll just put up another poem.
I'm right on that, my friend. Just
nipped in the bud.
There we go.
Okay. Oh, the word is the word police would lock her up and throw away the key.
Okay. We have a piece called She's With Me Still by Darkened Auras. And, okay, Stelina, you didn't get the opportunity. I'll give you another one.
Okay, thank you, dear. Right, so this is called She's With Me Still, and it's by Darkened Auras. In the wind, I hear her call my name. Since her death, nothing has been the same. Still, trek out to our favourite tree, the place she said she'd always be. It was where we met, shared our first kiss, where we'd watch sunset, her features ebb and flow. The branches were her hair, in wind that would blow. As I left beneath the crescent moon, I whispered to her, I'll see you soon.
Oh, that is just, wow. Oh, I just love your voice, Selena, when you read.
Oh, thank you.
Such a beautiful voice. Doesn't
she, girl?
That's
very nice of you. That's very nice of you to say. Thank you.
So relaxed.
We never like our own voices, do we?
Yeah, just, you know, I have this squeaky little voice, but, you know, yours is so beautiful, such a beautiful, and, you know, it's so matched the brought out all the emotion in this poem here, and all the
beautiful poem.
I feel the serene. You know, after this poem, it just has this feeling of peacefulness to it. It was where we met, shared our first kiss, where we'd watch sunset in endless bliss. I just love that stanza, you know, and all throughout, just a beautiful, beautiful right here by Darkened Auras. What did you think, Bobby, of this poem?
Very melancholy. It's deeply emotional. It touches on sorrow, great delicacy. The way you read it gave it was so emotive. It gave it such a depth of feeling. Beautifully done.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Thank you.
You know, and that's a great observation. Yeah, we do feel the melancholy, you know, but it settles in such a way that, you know, I don't know. That's maybe why I find the serenity, why I can't explain it, you know, how come I feel serene after such a melancholic poem, but it just, maybe it was all in Selena's voice. Maybe that's it. But
that's probably it. The beauty, she has a very sonorous voice.
Indeed, yes. And
you love the story.
Diane?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I, you know what? It was a combination there. Stelina's voice, she has a voice to capture the emotion in a piece like this, to be able to read it and pull out the emotion. And it was sad for me because I was actually sitting down writing a piece last night. My birthday's coming up. And every year, it's not, my mom passed away a few years back, and it's not on her birthday that, or Mother's Day, it's on my birthday, because I realize if there's ever anyone in my life that will always be there with me, it's my mom. And I was thinking about that last night and thinking, she's with me still, just like this poem says, right? She's still with me. And every year on my birthday, even though she's not physically here, we connect. We connect because we went through a lot for my birth, my mom and I. I was born 6 weeks premature, and
we went through a lot. So to hear the, you know, to see a tribute to someone like this of death and losing someone and knowing they're still with you, it really shook me up a bit because I was very close to this last night. And I thank you so much, Stark and Oris, for submitting this. I love your writing, and this is an amazing one. Thank you for the nostalgia.
Oh, yeah, that's an awesome, awesome comment there. And happy birthday ahead of time, Diane. and, you know, that's thank you for sharing that, you know, personal piece, personal thoughts with us, you know, on your mother. To really appreciate it that you trust us enough to share things like that with us. We're an awesome family, and you know, awesome family here on AP, and you know, we share. Sometimes I have a hard time sharing things, but you know, I'm getting there. And Stelina, you read that so beautifully. Your thoughts?
Oh well, I really like Christina's work. You know, she's a fantastic dark writer. She enters many eye contests. And like was mentioned before, judging contests is so difficult. You know, you have so many talented writers. Anyway, but this poem is wonderful. Like Diane said, you know, I lost my mom. I lost my father at a young age, and I lost a brother last year, a dearly loved brother. And this piece really brings out that feeling, that emotion. I especially like the stanza. Where is it? Yes. The birds marked her features, ebb and flow. The branches were her hair in wind that would blow. It's so beautiful. You know, and the image that was put up is beautiful too, and they really blend together so well. It's just a wonderful write from beginning to end. I loved it. Yeah, well done, Christina.
Oh yeah, very very talented writer for sure.
She is.
You know, I have to look into more of her work. Because all along, Dark and Doris, I thought she was, I thought this was a girl. Oh, my great. I thought this was a man. Oh, it's a girl, Christina. Okay. Well, thank you so much, Stelina, for shining a light on that. Amazing. Amazing poem. And Diane, where are you taking us next?
Well, before I take us on, Naomi, I have to agree with you. I thought the same thing. I thought Dark and Oris Forever was a guy. And, I mean, I love Dark and Oris writings, and I comment on so much of it like that. And it's so neat to have people like Sel on the show that know who these guys are and can give us a name and give us an introduction to them so we get to know them a little better. So I'm so happy that we know that, Dark and Oris, and I'll never mistake you again. And
yeah,
with that,
I'm sorry.
Next we have a piece called Autumnal by Sandy G. And Naomi, would you like to give that a read?
Okay. Vibrancy wanes, sunlight fades. Lady Summer shows her rage. Yellow splashes on nature's brush with red and orange blend and blush. Bright florid leaves turn russet brown, deserts the canvas and tumble down. Desert the canvas and tumble down. Stalwart patterns, partners stick and cling till pushed aside in early spring. Oh, wow, amazing rhyme and rhythm in this poem, Sandy G, and the colors that are used. I just love those colors. And, you know, just the idea of, you know, the leaves there deserting the canvas and tumbling down, just a beautiful right.
Sorry.
And your thoughts, Diane, on this piece?
Well, this is a brilliant little brevity, and take a beautiful picture of autumn, pulling out everything in that image and pulling out everything I see when I look out over my balcony window. Orange and red blend and blush, yellow splashes on nature's brush. Love that line, yellow splashes on nature's brush. It's an amazing brevity with metaphors that pull everything out of the beauty of nature, the bright leaves turning russet brown. Just beautiful description, and I'm going to have to leave and go back out on my balcony and have a look again because I love that look.
And yeah, for sure, eh? You know, is it the... Anne and Lucy Montgomery's, Anne of Green Gables, Anne says in her book, isn't it wonderful that we, or something like that, isn't it wonderful that we live in a place where there's an October or something like that. And, you know, we have to cherish it because, you know, not everywhere in the world do we get to have an autumn and have an October. And he describes it so beautifully in this poem right here. And Stelina, your thoughts?
Well, this is a lovely tribute to autumn. Autumn is my favourite time of the year. I love it. Unfortunately, in Malta, we don't really get these colours, you know, because we don't have the foliage here that we do in the UK and in America and so many other countries. And it's something that I really, truly miss here, you know, the countryside, and especially autumn when the leaves are turning. And this little poem is so beautiful. I mean, the imagery, you know, and I love the personification of summer. Lady Summer shows her age. It's so lovely, and so many colours in it. You know, vibrancy, yellow splashes, red and orange, bright florid leaves. You know, you can feel the colours as you read it. It's a lovely piece, yeah. Well done, Sandy. Nicely done.
And, yeah, that's an awesome, awesome comment there, Stelina. And, Bobby, your thoughts?
The word choices are very specific. There's a I'm about to.
Thank you.
Bless you.
Oh. Sorry about that. It snuck up on me. Bludgeoned me. here we go. We'll have a slight pause while the caller starts breathing again. I like her use. A very subtle use of assonance. Sunlight fades, shows her age. She got it very subtle. And then she goes into a standard rhyme, which is nice, but the transitioning is so smooth. And I like Lady Summer shows her age. I've never thought of it quite that way. When I see the leaves changing, to me, summer has said adios, and it is supplanted by autumn, by after the equinox, then everything transitions, but the colors in this This is a very elegant, very economically written, glamorous, but in the term of very glamour, because it sparkles.
And I see a Dashpad is on hold. Have you joined us, Dashpad? Hello? Oh, maybe Pam didn't pick her up yet. Well, we'll go on to the next piece, and we'll just see how that works out. So, Diane.
I apologize for sneezing in people's ears.
So, Diane, you have our next piece up?
Hello. Yes, I do, my friend.
Oh, I heard a hello. So, Diane, is that you, Dashpat?
Yes, Dashpat.
Oh, hello. So glad you could join us. We read your piece. It was the first piece we had up. I don't know if you have another one on the board?
Oh, I don't know. I just wanted to call in and help out.
Oh, that is perfect. That is perfect. So thank you so much for joining us. We're so delighted to have you. And you're so welcome. And so happy to have you here with us. And so Diane, you have our next piece up.
I do, and welcome, Dashpat. It's awesome to have you. Awesome right earlier, and great to have you. And the next piece up is called Dr. Kitty by Garden Delights. And Bobby, would you want to give that one a read, please?
Certainly. Well, and why not? Perfect therapist. Impeccable qualifications. Bilingual, understands toddler, zero pressing engagements, highly recommended on Kid Network. End poem.
Oh, that's amazing. Amazing, amazing, amazing poem. So clever. Garden Delights, she amazes me every time. Where she can take her poetry to the level she can. It is perfect. What did you think, Diane?
Oh, I'm looking at this. I just zoomed in on the picture, and they have their little hand in their paw, almost touching. And look at the face on that little kitten. Almost like saying, okay, almost like a grandpa saying, okay, this is what you have to do, and this is how you do it. And it's just a wonderful piece, beautifully captured that image and the message of, yes, they are like therapists. I don't personally have a kitten, or a cat, I'm thinking of it, but my family does. And when I go there, I look at these cats and I read them. I love reading them and putting words into their mouth and stuff, because cats are amazing, and she captured this beautifully.
Yeah. I have a cat, and she disturbs me every radio show. She's at the patio door meowing to get in, and that's my be right back right there is my cat. But she should be showing up anytime now, but she hasn't right now. But yeah, I I'm a dog lover, but dogs are a lot of work, and when you're running around when you have so many kids and your grandchildren and you're running around, you don't have always have time for a dog. So, yeah, I settled for a cat. And, you know, she does the job. She cuddles with me. So, yeah, amazing ride here by Garden Delight. And, Bobby, your thoughts. You read that so beautifully.
Oh, I grew up with dogs. I fell in love with a cat person. So after I passed the cat test, he informed me that if there was no relationship between me and the cat, that the relationship with him was equally unlikely. Fortunately, Tasha and I bonded almost more than he had hoped, because she would come sit in my lap. She wouldn't sit in his lap, and he would grumble and get a long lower lip. And she didn't sit in my lap. I said, well, you know, we girls have to stick together. But they are, I have two now, and the male is my, he's my guy. He is such a wonderful companion, and he's loving. He's gentle. I call him my beautiful boy, and I would be. Both my cats are 17 years old, so I know that every day with them now is a gift, and so I cherish every moment with them. And any pet that shows and returns your affection is always cherished. Be it birds or cats or dogs or, you know, lizards or what have you. I know Luyu, Monday night says you can hear her birds in the background, because I think she has a cockatoo, and they're chirping away merrily. And I know they can be an awful lot of fun, but that when you get that kind of unconditional love bestowed on you, there's nothing finer. It is an elixir for everything.
Oh yeah, for sure. You know, animal therapy. It exists for a reason. And Dash Pat, your thoughts on Garden Delight poem?
Yes, I enjoyed this poem. I've had cats. I especially loved the line, bilingual understands toddler, because I was convinced my cat could talk and understood what I was saying, so I get that. Very, very sweet poem.
Oh, yes, indeed. And, you know, it's so true. What you say, that your pets, it's as if they really come to understand you. You know, I don't know if it's the tone of your voice or what it is, but, they know. And your moves, too, sometimes, you know, you just move a certain way and they know. And I remember I had a dog, and, you know, when I was feeling down, she'd come and she'd put her head on my lap. So, yeah, I love my dog.
Well,
she passed
dogs
away.
And cats,
but
dogs and cats especially, but I think also like horses, they have the same range of emotions that humans do. They can feel joy. They can feel sorrow. They can feel grief. It's wonderful to realize that, because it puts a kinship there that you wouldn't ordinarily expect.
Mm-hmm. So well said there. And Selena, your thoughts on the Garden Delight poem?
Well, Garden Delight is another poet who writes a lot for my contest, and again, a marvelous poet, marvelous. This was perfectly read by Bobby, and I love the short lines, perfect therapist, impeccable qualification. So it's nicely formatted, but people underestimate cats a lot. I mean, I am a dog person, but I have a cat, a nice little black cat, Binx. And he follows me everywhere, you know. He's like my baby. But, yeah, she's nailed it really here. You know, everything that she said about cats here is quite true. You know, they are good therapists. You understand toddlers. And, you know, end of the poem, really. Yeah, very nicely done, Garden. Very nicely done.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Isn't she such a talented writer, Garden Delights, you know, and her formatting, like you said, you know, she has excellent formatting every time. You know, I wish I had that talent to format, you know, but, you know, I just put words on the lines and, you know, separate the lines. I don't do much in the way of formatting, but she's the queen of formatting, you know, as is another poet, Cress Tirset, is wonderful, I think, in formatting her poems as well, as is so many other poets out there with so many talents. But yeah, just an excellent, excellent poem here by Garden Delights. And Diane, where are we off to next, my dear darling?
Well, next we have a piece. Actually, before I go on, I just want to say I think I'm going to get a cat because you guys have convinced me, but I have to talk to you about plants because I have the ugliest coleus on the planet, but I don't want a cat getting poison or my coleus dying, so I have to look at that. Anyway, sorry about that. I had to put that in. We have an awesome piece up next. I read it already, and if she would do us the honor of reading it for us, Selena, we have your piece up called The Voice of Love. Would you love to read that for us?
Yeah, and unfortunately, the sound cloud from Arcana has just this moment come through. You know, he promised to make one, and bless him, he always keeps his word. But he had to go out today, and he was a bit late coming back, I think. So, and I don't think he knew exactly what time the show aired. So it's just come through by email. Poor thing. Anyway, I'll read it. No problem. Right. So this piece was not for a contest. It was actually inspired by my own contest, where I put up some first lines of songs, and the writers had to use the first line in the poem and write their own poem from it. And this was inspired by Waltz Away Dreaming by Toby Bourke and George Michael, which is one of my very favourite songs. And it goes like this. It's called The Voice of Love. She's got a song in her head, and she'll sing it to me. Of idyllic illusion, a sea of serendipity, where we drift together in hedonistic harmony on cornflower-crested clouds. Her innermost fantasies she will bear to me of sybaritic seductions of sensuality, where we pursue peaks of pleasurability on wanton wandering ways. Her song is enigmatic and entrancing, a serenade of soulful sensitivity, a sanctuary of tempting tranquility in a scintillating shroud of stars. Her song will linger when I languish for her. Then I will rue the times of complacency, when I was guilty of inconstancy, for she is the voice of love. End poem.
Ah, oh, what a beautiful, beautiful right there, Selena. Just amazing.
Thank you.
You know, I have to start off by saying, you know, the alliteration throughout the poem, you know, it's subtle, but it, you know, it's there. We hear it. It's beautiful. And, you know, the inner rhyme, makes it so stand out, you know, the lines, just beautiful, the rhythm, the rhyme all throughout. Stunning lines and words used, you know, very, very beautiful piece. And Diane, your thoughts on Miss Delina's right? Hello, Diane? Did Diane have to step away? Oh, well, I'll get Dash back to comment.
Hope it didn't make her cry.
Dash Pat, what did you think of this rite? Are we losing everybody?
I think I've killed everybody with my poem.
Is everybody on mute? Woo-hoo. Bobby, are you there?
Sure am.
Okay.
I like her inspiration. Is if you've ever read of any of George Michael's works, his more emotional ones, he had a real gift for expressing emotion. You want to read a song of the lyrics to hear George Michael. Listen to Jesus as a Child, and it talks about. It is. Have you heard that one?
Oh yes, I'm a big fan of his.
Oh, that'll break your heart because it talks about him looking for love, finding someone to love him and for him to love, and then that person being taken from him by illness, and it just is gut wrenching, but so gorgeous. And so his gift for she's chosen quite a wonderful inspiration, and you can I agree with what you've said that the alliteration is delicate, the rhythm, the cadence of the piece is melodic, it is very pleasing, and but the ending, her song will linger when I languish for her. Then I will rue the times of complacency, for I was guilty of inconsistency, for she is the voice of love. Beautifully said. Just elegant, eloquent, soulful, just absolutely gorgeous.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It's a beautiful song, okay. You know. It's a beautiful song. And it's not hard to be inspired by it, really. Not at all.
Those are amazing words that you use, Bobby. They're eloquent and elegant. So true about this poem. And Diane, your thoughts on Stelina's right?
Hi, I'm back, and I'm so sorry. I thought I put B right back on the board, but I think I put it in the wrong room. That's me. But I just want to say, Stel, this, I read it before I took off there and came back and heard some of the beautiful comments. And Stel, this is you, my dear. This is, I don't know. Stelina, I'm in a tournament with Stelina, and she had a way with interpreting lyrics and then rebuilding them or framing them and pulling out what the lyrics and delivering it back to the reader. Beautifully well done, and some of your word choices, like I have to mention the alliteration too, because like Bobby said, elegant. It works so well, you know, on wanton wandering waves. I mean, you don't trip up. And I trip up sometimes on alliteration, but your word choices are just beautiful. Symbiotic seductions of sensuality.
like you can't put words together like that and not get emotion out of them. Like, it's an amazingly well written, and I'm so enjoying you in the tournament. I'm becoming such a fan of your work. Like, beautiful work, girl.
Oh, thank you very much. That's very kind. The best thing for me is, you know, if a piece gives people pleasure, that's all I want. You know, I don't really care when I enter contests. It's nice to get gold and silver, yeah, but you know, I always, when Arcana and I write together, we always discuss this. And while it is nice to get awards, you know, the comments that we get mean such a lot to us, because we have some wonderful comments. And, you know, the pleasure that people find in your work is the best award of all, really. So, you know, and thank you so much for that wonderful comment. I you know, I'm really enjoying the beat, boys, to tell you the truth.
Mm-hmm, me too.
But I don't know what she's going to give, throw at us next.
Oh, I'm sure it would be a gooder.
Oh, God.
So, Diane, yeah, excellent, excellent right there, you know, Stelina. It's an amazing, amazing poem.
Thank you. I'm interested
and,
to see what the SoundCloud will be like from Arcana, actually. I wanted him to do it because this is a man's voice speaking, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, but, you know, he never lets me down. So, you know, I can't really say anything to him. He's always there. So, but anyway, I'll be interested to listen to it after.
Yeah, you'll have to put it on open poetry night, you know, so we can all hear it.
I will too.
Oh,
Stelina,
yeah.
If I can make a comment, honestly, your piece is gender agnostic.
Well, yes, of course it is. Yes, of course. So, you know,
yeah. I did think that myself.
I did think that myself. The only reason I sort of asked for a man to read it was because of the song, to be perfectly honest. But, I mean, yes, it works either way.
Yeah, you've got the feminine pronoun in there. But you could just as easily strip the pronouns from this, and it would be just as eloquent and just as heartfelt.
Oh, that's nice. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yeah. Of course, I mean, it could be a woman singing about her lover.
Another
so,
woman.
You know, why not, you know? So
why not?
That's fine too. It was, like I said, it was only the connection with the song that put on, really.
No,
but anyway.
So I see we have Pam's poem up next. And Pam did request a reader, I guess. So, so I'll leave you. Take it away, Diane.
Absolutely. And I'm going to be selfish here, and I'm going to read it because I love reading Pam's work. It's called A Taken Bite from Wooden Crate. She takes a bite of the Granny Smith, piercing apple green flesh. Flowing juices are perfumed with clinging memories that refuse to let go. Sweet and tart, another taste of once upon a time in orchards holding hands. Winds flow wild and free, branches under the weight of expectations. She is counting down the days between the loss and found of love, prying open crates of contained fruit, released to the charm of lips ready to receive the last fallen leaf. Before the winter storm becomes the matriarch of hexagon woes, burying the harvest. End poem.
Oh, what a beautiful write. I mean, you know, Pam, another amazing, amazing poet on all poetry. You know, I learned so much from reading her all the time, you know. Just amazing lines here. You know, it's a very emotive write, you know, very flowing juices are perfumed with clinging memories that refuse to let go. Wow. You know, that line right there, that is just amazing. Clinging memories that refuse to go, let go. Just amazing. What are your thoughts? Who am I going to ask? Let's go with Stelina.
Right. Okay, so this is for the Vermilion Group Color Contest that Stephen puts up, the apple green color. And it's, you know, it's such a gorgeous poem, this. I mean, you take the apple, you can, how much can you get from eating an apple? You have to ask Pam, because she's got everything from it. And, you know, I mean, she takes a bite of the Granny Smith, piercing apple green. And then, you know, she talks about in the orchards holding hands and the lost and found love. And you know, as she's eating this apple, it seems like all these memories and all these, you know, things from her past are filling her mind with each reminiscent bite of an apple, you know, and it's such a lovely take on the prompt of the color. So beautiful. I really, really love it. Such a great poem, Pam. Yeah, well done.
Oh yeah, you know, just amazing, stunning writing here. And you know, that was an excellent comment. How do we make a poem out about eating an apple? Ask Pam. Do it for us. for sure. And Diane, your thoughts on Pam's poem? That was an awesome read, by the way.
Yeah, it was so fun to read, you know, and so because one of the things, the many talents Pam has is pulling the title out of the piece. I don't know if she writes without a title and then comes to that, because I do that sometimes, right? But it's the way she pulls the title right out of the piece of Taken Bite from Wooden Crate, and all based around the color of a green apple. And she catches it. And there's three metaphors that just really stand out and work for me. Flowing juices are perfumed with clinging memories that refuse to let go. Sweet and tart, another taste of once upon a time. Now, isn't that just magnificent? Like, sweet and tart, another taste of once upon a time. And then when this one, she is counting down the days between the lost and found of love. I mean, I heard someone say one time about someone's poem, I'd love to get in their head when, I'd love to be a fly on the wall in their head when they're pulling these things out of there. And that's the way I am with some of Pam's writing. It's like, where did she get that? And how did she pull that out? It just blows me away. And another poet among many on this site that I am learning from. It's just amazing.
Oh, indeed.
Agree. Yeah.
Amazing. Amazing talent. Amazing talented lady, Miss Pam Ray, for sure. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
Well, I see yet another poem, or yet another poet has been infected by the dread disease spread by Pam Ray, known as metaphor envy. she has. I'm over the. And I'm, this. It's October, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
This is my third anniversary. This is and I marked it with a couple of days ago. My first poem was to a friend of mine for his birthday, and he said, "You've got to get this published." And I stumbled, literally stumbled upon AP, and this is my third. I've just marked my third year with AP, and over these 3 years, Pam has a romance with words. She has a romance with words and with her reader, because she will transport. She's a magician. She transports her reader to where she is and shares her experience with them. And I don't think I can give her any finer compliment than that.
You just amazing comment there, Bobby. And I understand Dash Pat, you're back with us.
Yes.
So welcome back. Did you happen to hear Pam's poem, Pam Ray's poem?
Yes, I did. I like Pam's poetry because it always seems to touch upon the senses, you know, taste, smell, and she transports you there. The imagery is rich. I sensed a little melancholy in her words.
So true. Yeah, that's a great comment. And, you know, and the way she uses senses, of course, throughout her poetry, it's wonderful observation there, Dash Pat. It's so true. You know, Pam does, you know, and it brings on all kinds of emotion, I think, in the reader as they're reading, you know. It's such a wonderful poet she is. So amazing comment there, Dash Pat. And so an amazing piece, Pam. Thank you so much. And where are we going next, Diane?
Well, next we have a piece up. AR's been on the board here all morning with us or all day with us. And I just thought, you know, it's awesome when poets call in and come hang out with us on the board. And the best thing we can do is put their piece up, because I love being able to give that face-to-face type comment, you know. So posted is Hidden Brush by A.R. Mundell. And Naomi, would you like to give that a read?
Yeah, and certainly. Hidden Brush, nestled, nettle deep. I'm going to start that over. Hidden Brush, nestled, nettle deep. Burgundy brush glimpsed over green through it. Behind it, tucked away in the mystery of garden's end. Yip, on a moonlit night, paw prints in loomy mud, the feel of eyes watching, wary, our ships passing in starlight. End poem. Oh, what a beautiful write. I'm going to comment last on this because I just read it. But Bobby, what did you think of our Mundell's write?
I enjoy Amy's writing. She has a real facility with words, and I like this interesting yip on a moonlit night, paw prints in loamy mud, the feel of eyes watching, wary, our ships passing the starlight. Never a direct reference, yet no doubt in your mind what's occurring here. There's a gift of storytelling. I mean, and her first stanza sets up the story. So this is an excellent brevity, very skillfully crafted, and a delight to read.
Yeah, amazing comment. Amazing piece. And Diane, your thoughts?
Well, you know, first I have to say that piece put together. Naomi, when you said, I'm going to start over, and you started reading that piece, you could hear in your voice, it had you. you just soaked it up and you were right into it. You were gone, girl, when you were reading that, and you were right in the flow and pulled this emotion out of it that the piece was meant to show us. Awesome job reading that, girl. And I'm actually posting again because I lost my window, because I want to comment on the word choice here. Hidden brush. Nestled nettle deep, burgundy brush. You know, just pulls out right away automatically the color and hits us with this awesome color of burgundy brush, glimpsed over green. You know, just pulling out the emotion of color. And coming down, yip, on a moonlit night. What a beautiful choice of words. Yip, on a moonlit night. I mean, that just has a rhythm of its own, man. In loamy mud. I love the word loamy. I've used it, and it's becoming a favorite word of mine, loamy mud. But the imagery and the metaphors and our ships passing in starlight to end it all. Awesome, right? And all I can say is it's deserving of an FPP itself. I just found it amazingly written for a brevity of, I'm not sure how many words, it definitely packed that punch.
Oh, yeah. Very powerful piece indeed. And Dash Pat, your thoughts? Did Dash Pat drop? Hello?
I'm here.
Okay.
Yeah. When I was reading this, I was thinking about the line, in loamy mud. The feel of eyes watching. Weary of ships passing in starlight.
Now, those are amazing lines for sure. I was, you know, like Diane said, I was totally absorbed by this poem from first to end. I did have to start over because, you know, I just love that, those lines, like Diane said, nestled nettle deep burgundy brush. Isn't that beautiful? Burgundy brush, glimpsed over green, tucked away in the mystery of garden's end. I just love, and yip on a moonlit night, as Bobby pointed out. Isn't that a neat line right there? Yip on a moonlit night. Just amazing. Amazing all the way through. So well penned, this piece. Bravo, Amy. You know, thank you so much. Did somebody, I thought I heard somebody. Okay. Well, Pat had to drop again. I guess she's having trouble with the phone there. We have time for, another piece, or we'll see how it goes. So, Diane.
Pick me. Actually, we do have another piece on the board, and I had it ready to post because I would love to end with Bobby reading Chimera Obscura.
But thank you. What a lovely compliment. I don't mind being the caboose. Or is that an obscure reference? Okay. We have Chimera Obscura, which, if you're not familiar with it, is it's an interesting technology, and definitely worth investigating, because they think that this was a technology used by Jan Vermeer
because of the level of detail in his paintings. And if you're really interested in looking into it, I recommend a documentary called Tim's Vermeer. Absolutely stunning piece of work. Camera obscura. His view of existence, a camera obscura, inverted images opening fragile fractures to emotional fissures deeply felt but unseen. Blistering words tug at his psyche, reminders that he was shunned, pariah, of the world not in it, isolated by the perverted images. Heartbreakingly myopic, a blinkered view of his future provides no insight. Tragic depression, a disconsolate, all-consuming abyss. No light appears at its brink, a lifeline of hope tossed to his incarcerated soul, but he cannot see it for the darkness. His tormented universe, a view through the pinhole, suspended in a black ocean, the timeless warp, his withered spirit cloistered in existential purgatory. His life was an oubliette, atrementious, isolated, inescapable, endlessly desolate, ever distorted, eternally damned. End poem.
Oh, wow. Wow, Bobby. Camera obscura. You know, a camera has many layers, and this poem is so, so layered. It's so deep, has so much depth to it. And, what a wonderful, extended metaphor there that there's a camera is for the psyche of this person and is a, is desolate, feelings or, but he cannot see it for the darkness. He's like you said, in existential purgatory. He, with his life, was his oubliette. I just love that word, oubliette, that comes from French. And atrementis, I don't know what that means, but I'm going to look that. Yeah? What does that mean?
Atrementis, yeah. If you look at my author's notes, I usually always will furnish definitions. It means black as ink.
Oh, wow. Amazing. I learned a new vocabulary word today. Woo!
Yeah, it's a great word, that is.
Yeah, amazing. I loved, the line, heartbreakingly myopic. I find that's an amazing line there, right there. It says it all, heartbreakingly myopic. Just amazing two words that say so much. Amazing right here, Bobby. And Selena, what are your thoughts?
Oh, well, I absolutely love this poem. I'm a big art fan. I paint and draw myself. And, I love art history and so on. So this appealed to me in that way. But also, the way that the poem uses the camera obscura for a metaphor into this sad life, this sad existence, is amazing. And also the language, the words, the phrasing, it's so expertly done, it's really a masterclass piece, this. I mean, this second verse I love, and I love this line, blistering words tug at his psyche. I love that line. I love it. And the other line, the words, like you pointed out, atrementus, oubliette, these have such lovely sounds when you're reading as well. And so it appeals to all senses, this poem. Fantastic piece. I love it. Well done, really.
Thank you.
Bravo.
Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
Awesome, awesome comment there, Selena. And Diane, your thoughts?
Well, I'm just going to try and wrap this up and keep it short. Camera obscura. Bobby, you say Pam has a love affair with words and with her reader. You have an ability to pull a reader out of where they don't go usually. I would never have thought to write a piece based on this view of existence. It's amazingly written, your word choice. You have an unbelievable love affair with words and can pull them out and make them do whatever the frig you want. I just love this piece. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. You're welcome. This was my attempt after having read and works by people like Faziana and some of the other poets. This was my attempt at trying to describe the world of someone who has mental illness and who is struggling with reality.
Well, yeah. It was an attempt, but it was a resounding success, like I say.
Oh, yes. Amazing.
Sure.
Amazing piece to finish our show off, girls. Thank you so much for being our caboose today, Bobby.
I thoroughly enjoyed myself. Loved it.
And, thank you so much, Selena, for...
You're very welcome.
Us and Bobby.
Wonderful.
For being here. Every time, it's just a joy. And thank you to my wonderful co-host, Diane. And, for everybody who hung out on the board today, to Hats, to Amy, and I saw Frank on there. I saw so many other people on the board today. Just thank you for your presence. Because it's so encouraging to see people on the board when we're doing this show. It means everything to us. And so thank you. And good afternoon, everybody, or good night, or good morning, or wherever you are.
Good evening from here. Good evening.
Have a great rest of the day. Thank you.
You too.
Bye.
Thanks.